turn into really praying for people, I can only promise you, you will have a lot of interrupted sleep. And I mean it. I really mean it. And so, praying for people is never an easy task. And lots of things to sort out. Okay? And here are some questions which I think are quite interesting to work with later on. I'll deal with these things here. Okay, I've got 9 o'clock here on my watch. But let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to benefit much from our last study of your word this morning. We pray that as we try to bring to a conclusion the retreats, you will give to us that measure of grace and wisdom to be able to make headway, to make strong progress in our prayer life. Help us to be very frank and open about how this can be actually be done. We pray that you would help us to benefit from Jeremiah's own personal experiences. Pray for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now here's some questions. One question is how to deal with the issue of discipline to prayer and quiet time with the Lord on top of the daily work activities. I think this is something that many of us all struggle with. I mean, how do I find the discipline with my daily activities? It's really a question of trying to understand what life is all about rather than to look at it as mere activities. Question is, what is life all about? If you were to raise this question, this issue on what life is all about, rather than call it daily activities. Because if you were to take a look at the daily activities equals chores, or equals work, or equals studies, and then you try to place add quiet time, add prayer, then you have a whole mix up of the thing. Then we will end up with saying, okay, I had my quiet time, done. And I had the view prayer, done. Now I get to all these things. And once I get to those things, this part will be forgotten. What did I read this morning? I also don't know. What did I pray about this morning? I forgot. If this is what it is, then this is wasted energy and effort. It makes sense to you? This is not what it should be. You should see it as a whole of life. If I see this as the whole of my life, then I ask myself, what are things it really, really I would consider as the whole of my life? Okay, now I want to talk about the things which are very, very important, a part of my life. Question, what are the things that make up what I call really important things to do in my life? And it's important that we make a list of these things as our priority. What would be the list in our priority? If we were to add quiet time prayer as only a part of the whole things we do, we will get a very jumbled up idea as to what it's all about. Question, what is priority? Make sense to you? Okay? And the priorities will be different according to who you are, where you are in your life. Okay? Your priority as a student. Please focus your priority on your studies. I'm serious. Because whatever, however you do in your studies is going to affect the future. But even your student life, you mess it up. You like to have a social life. You want to go drinking. You want to go boy partying. You want boyfriends, girlfriends, and all these things here. And whatever little time you have to study, I can guarantee you, your future is going to be very, very sad and bleak. Because you got your priorities all wrong. It makes sense to you? Okay? So what are your priorities? Because this stage will soon be over. The next stage will be now your working life. What are your priorities then? That's very important. So, if you didn't concentrate on this, and you want to go into this thing here, then you find that you didn't do well, it will affect your career. Naturally so. One will tumble into the other. Then, okay, then finally you get married. And you find that this affects your mind, this your heart, your spirit affected, your work affected, your married life also affected. Obviously. One after the other. You should not separate all these things. And if you can add on to these things here. I have an add-on effect. This is called a knock-on effect. A knock-on effect will really throw you off balance if you're not careful. So if you have your whole life all over again to live right now, and I want to suggest to you that you should concentrate on, if you are a student, then please, for goodness sake, please focus on your studies. Do well. If B is your highest you can get, fine. Okay? If C is your highest you can get, that's fine too. But you have to begin to tailor everything of your life according to what you are able to accomplish. Make sense to you? This then adds on very, very, very much. How does quiet time and prayer come in? Very much so. It becomes a natural part. Alright? Let's go back to Jeremiah 32 where God says, He will be our God. We will be His people. This has always been the ideal, the dream, the plan that God had for His people. Problem is they never fulfilled their part. It makes sense to you? Okay? So if you want to find the discipline and you want to find, if I am studying, let's say, I begin to say, okay, now this is what I really want to do. Then I want to ask myself, how do I understand my life? Okay, now if I want to really understand my life properly, okay, I begin to realize that in order to be able to do all these things, I need God. And if I really need God, then I also need, we began last night, I need that knowledge, I need that deeper knowledge, that wisdom, I need that enlightenment, right? I need very, very much what it means for us to understand the power of God and the inheritance that God has promised to us. I need God for all these things, obviously. The moment I recognize my need for God in all these things, my whole reading of the Bible, call it quiet time, call it whatever you wish, will have bearing on this. It will. Okay, let me share with you some of the things that I say I'm concerned about. Let's say I am going to bring God in. Okay, and this is something that comes to me. Let's say that I want to look into, say, this retreat. Let me give you an example. And I'm praying last night. How did I spend last night? I hardly slept, I must tell you. Okay? The part of the reason is because I take this retreat. Anytime I teach God's Word, I take this very, very seriously. And this is one last shot, one last lesson that we can find together. And I know that 50% of the people will go away. We came, we attended, we learned something, and nothing's going to come out of it. And I'm deeply concerned. Can I help you make more sense out of God and faith in God in your life? I would love to do that. Okay? I'll tell you what the things that I prayed about. I prayed for Jane's parents. You know, I'm deeply concerned. The moment I get involved into seeking to witness to your parents, as it were, it will stay on my mind until I see it through. Day and night, I will be thinking, praying, Lord, what is it that I should say? What passage, what text should I use? What words, how do I communicate? Is there something that I'm missing? And I will be thinking and thinking and thinking all the time. Okay? Two. I'm praying for some of you in your families where there are some family difficulties. And I'm deeply concerned because some of the difficulties are not easy to resolve. And I'm deeply concerned. And so, I'm not naming names. I'm just telling you how I'm really, really concerned. And I'm praying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do now? Believe me, it will keep you up late at night. No matter how tired you are, you will pray. That's how it is to pray for people. So I can understand how Jeremiah felt when he prayed and he wept. Don't be worried about these difficulties. They will be felt and they will not be easy. There are lots of things in the heart and the mind. So I never see quiet time as something I do. And then I read it, my Bible, and it's gone. Because I see it as a life thing here. I see it as a life force. Will it give me the knowledge, that wisdom, the enlightenment, the power I need for my life and for my ministry? That's how I search it. That's how I read the scriptures. There's no other way. Be involved with me in my life. And so I in many, many ways, I also know that there is just so much I can do and no more. Once you enter into praying for people, it becomes a life concern until you cease to stop. But it is there. It makes sense to you? And you know, as you understand, you begin to realize, as the Lord helps you to understand, there are lots of these things here. So, quiet time, reading the scriptures, you never fall into a rut. You never. You never fall into a rut because you begin to realize that these activities are not just daily activities we do. Whatever they may be. There is so much to learn from everything. There is. If we can understand it from this standpoint of learning from every single example, everything that we read, then our life becomes stronger. Our knowledge becomes deeper all the time. I'm not one of those, I'm not a person who says, yeah, I'll pray for you. That's it. I can't. I don't know how to do that. Make sense to you? So this is how very important for us to. So we never allow ourselves to get into a routine. Prayer is not a routine. You know, there are people who are going to depend upon the pressure of a person. When a person shares that with you, and you say you want to uphold the person. You know, you have no idea how you will affect the person. How your prayer will cover the person, shelter the person, protect the person. You have no idea. The darts of the evil one are hurled at us. The arrows are shot. And your shield of faith is them, is going to shield the person. You have to hold up that shield. All the time. You can't stop. You have to be strong. To hold up a shield, you need that strength. So I never see this thing as a routine, you know, or activities I do. You try different. Look at your life and say, this is what I need to do. Now, okay, I'm doing this because it is the right thing for me to do. And I add on to all these things that I need to do. And it helps. There are responsibilities I must tell you about. You know, we all are committed to our children, for example, in whatever stage of their life they may be in. And we are deeply, deeply committed people. And I don't mean tying them to apron strings, far from it. But a commitment is there. And you want to try very hard to fulfill all those things. And there are big decisions to be made along the way in life all the time. And you keep on asking, now how do I help here? How do I help here? How do I help here? And that's important for us to understand. Okay? I hope that helped. Alright, let's go on today's text and look at the last segment here. Okay, I want to single out one aspect of the book of Jeremiah. And I want to talk about this aspect on prayer. There are many ways of studying Jeremiah. You can study Jeremiah historically. You can study Jeremiah theologically. I want to study it from the aspect of his prayer. And I want to talk about the struggles in prayer. I mean, seriously, you know, it's something that you need to understand. Prayer is very often a struggle. And it's a struggle that very often you need to deal with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. Okay? I wish I can single out something special or personal, but maybe I can just speak about in terms of why do you see Jeremiah in tears all the time? And you ask yourself, well, is it because he doesn't have the faith? The answer is no. It's not a question of faith, therefore no tears. You mustn't think that way. It's just a question of being so involved. This is his nation. These are his people. These are kinfolk. And the sense of tears will come most naturally. You have never really, really prayed for someone till you really prayed, and then tears come most naturally. Whether they are tears of sorrow because of sin, or tears of gladness because of victory, but tears will always be a part of our struggles in prayer. Thank God they are not always there, but it is something that will come. It's hard to understand and imagine how tears form so much a part of the life of Jeremiah, but it is true. It's there. You know, and I see some of the young people, I see your struggles, and sometimes I grieve for you. And it's something that we all need to work with. And I want you to know that there are people who really care, there are people who want to try and help you. Those of you who applied for university and you didn't get the replies you wanted, and you are sad, and you wonder, what do I do next? Well, part of it is prayer, part of it is knowledge, part of it is counsel. Seek those things. Seek people who know better. Don't follow your own understanding. Let me tell you, in Proverbs 3, we tell us very, very clearly. Okay? Do not lean on your own understanding. You lean on your own understanding, I can tell you, you're going to reap disaster in time to come. Trust in the Lord. That's the best thing to do. No, talk about students. It's sad, really. I listen, if you really need help, please ask for that help before the results come out. Because you make those decisions, and they are wrong decisions, you're going to pay for those mistakes the rest of your life. You cannot see those mistakes made. Only those of us who are older, we look backward and we begin to realize the many mistakes that were made along the way. If we had known them, we would have avoided them. But we didn't know them. We couldn't avoid them. So we are having to live with our mistakes, and we have to cope with whatever we have. Well, tears will always be a part of. And tears was a part of Jeremiah's life. There's no going back, unfortunately. There's only going forward. And so that's the only thing we can do. Let's go forward. Jeremiah fought despair. He was so concerned for his own people, until one day he found that his own people wanted to kill him. Then he got very angry. Well, there you go. So he asked the Lord to punish them, deal with them. Well, what? Would you convince you are good people? Nah. You learn and you fight feelings of despair, of anger, of frustration, of fears. This is all a natural part of life. And prayer is a very natural expression of our life. Okay, I really hope that we understand this, and we will always appreciate this is a part of our life that we cannot overlook. We cannot take for granted. It's something that's very real. It's there. Okay? So the emotional part is very involved in our prayer. So whenever you pray and the emotional part is not involved, worry about the quality of that prayer. Please bless Pastor. He's got ulcers. Thank you very much. You know, may he continue to speak. May we continue to be fed. Thank you very much. You see, you're thinking about yourself, not about me really. Except that my name happened to be there mentioned conveniently. And it's important that emotional linkage, if it is not there, chances are we're not really, really praying. And you know, you cannot find emotional linkage to everything, to everyone. That's the reality. Okay? Now, the next part of it is also, it's important. And this part is a very, very big one, called an intellectual struggle. The intellectual struggle is a very real thing. Let us say that we have the promises of God given. Okay? Let us also see the difficulties which are there, the problems of Israel and Judah. A very, very sad history. And you have the destruction, deportation, and the promise of deliverance. They all jumble together. You have to sort out your problems. And many people don't sort out their problems. They just sit and pray and think and hope that things will go away. Things don't go away. You need to sort them out. Whether you are a student, whether you are in working, whether you have a family problem, you don't sort out your difficulties. They're not ever going to get sorted out. You've got to pull them out one at a time and say, let me sort this out. Okay? Now, it's something that we all need to look at. I have an inflammation going on right now. And I know that the more I speak, it just gets it worse. Okay, now I have to plan things along the way. I have to drink along the way. I need to sort out whatever I need to sort out. Merely praying about the matter will not resolve the problem. See, we mustn't use prayer as a placebo or a prayer as a panacea for everything. It solves all problems. You know, you just pray about it and then you just switch off. That's not what it is. Okay, so you need to do your part very, very carefully to sort out all the things which are there. Now, I need to also tell you a little bit about another aspect. It's called a spiritual struggle aspect. And a spiritual struggle is very often an emotional and an intellectual thing combined together. But it is an invisible field. You cannot pinpoint it easily. And a part of it is, where does faith come in? How does my prayer help? How do I understand God's will? In any matter, in every matter, three areas are involved every time we pray. And these are struggles that we must learn how to cope with. Okay? Alright, over to you for questions on this matter here, what struggles in prayer on this matter here. So prayer is not a simple matter. It is not meant to, okay, I'll pray about it and things are going to work out. It's not. It really isn't. One day a man came to see a doctor and says, I got stomach problem. So the doctor said, well, what's your problem? So he's, you know, I'm sure I can help you. I'm a gastro person. So the man said, my problem is how to get my trousers over my stomach. It is not a doctor's problem, it's a tailor's problem. You missed the point. Am I making sense to you? So sometimes we can misdiagnose the thing. We can miss the problem. So if you are struggling in prayer, please don't be surprised. Okay? It will always be. As a child, you don't have problems. Childhood is a very, very precious time. You just play. You have food to eat, you are happy, you got presents, you're happy. Next month, happy. Whole month free, whole wonderful for school children. You know, it's just that's absolutely wonderful. Parents are the ones who worry. And that's true. And the worries don't stop. It's not just a question of you know, it's a whole lifetime. The attitudes of the children, habits of the children, the future of the children will be your headache for the next 20 something years. Won't stop. But that is life. That those, oh, what a beautiful thing. Oh, I have a boy. Oh, I have a girl. How wonderful. As long as they're babies, yes. Soon, the realities of life, they come in. Because they don't remain babies forever. The other things will come. They will come. And there will be struggles. Many struggles. And thank God that we can bring prayer in. Okay? Every time you're praying, and your praying is so smooth sailing, there are no struggles, worry. And I mean it, worry. All right. And you want to ask any questions, anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
Pastor, there's obviously a very strong link between the emotional content and the effectiveness of the prayer.
Right.
Unfortunately, for a lot of us, it's very difficult to enter into the problems of another person unless you have had some, you know, prior knowledge and all that.
You're right.
That's one issue. The other issue is this issue of apathy. Sometimes you just don't care enough.
You're right. You're right. You're very right about how the fact is. We cannot really pray until you really have empathy with the person. You're right. I'm serious about it, and it's something that we all need to be very concerned about. The question is how do we develop this, especially when you're a medical doctor, you're trained not to feel, not to care, not to really relate. I mean, that's how it is. And to other people, they don't understand. Well, how come you don't care? And empathy is not always the strongest and the best thing to have when you're a doctor with a patient. And you're right, you need the objectivity, you need the clarity of your mind to be able to do things. That's the challenge of it all. But there is this part of it which is necessary. You know, you'd rather come to see a doctor who is objective. I have a real problem with all my doctors. Because they never talk to me objectively. You know, we pray at a clinic, he asked me, what do you want? So I gave a list of the things I want. He said, yeah, that sounds about right. Anything else? That is always a problem with me, with all my doctors. And look, you know, while I appreciate the friendship and that we have, that the technical testings and everything else that we have aside, you know, you prefer that. Sometimes you prefer a person you really don't want to know. That's why I, you know, it's something that That is important. That's also part of your life. But if you really want to enter into praying for somebody, so for people, you're right. You need that link. Without that link, you can never pray effectively or meaningfully for anybody significantly. Very hard. This is why we get the struggles. If you're praying for somebody without really caring, no struggles. Yeah, Esther, go ahead.
Can I be very frank? I've been praying for my father.
Yeah.
And he'll be 81 this year, and yeah. I really fear for him because I see him constantly rejecting God. And I struggle in prayer, and I often get angry and frustrated, and I just wonder, to what extent should I be concerned about sinning in prayer? Because, you know, I just don't know what to say for him.
It is something that we all need to struggle with. I really, really understand what you're going through. Esther has difficulties with her father-daughter relationship. I've had my share father-son relationship. And from time to time, I reflect on what it means for me never to have really related to my father or mother. I understand how you feel about it, and I ask myself how I would overcome it. The only one meaningful conversation my father ever had with me was when I was already an adult, already a pastor. And he said to me, he asked me this question. He said, my sister told him, my big sis told him, he says, you know, why is it that you receive any regularly money support from me, but you never brought him up? And he was offended and upset by what my sister said. So he came to me and he asked me point blank how I feel about giving him a monthly support, you know. Well, I took care of all his medical bills and I took care of all the things, all the difficulties in life that came along. I said to him, that you did not bring me up is a fact. But I don't hold it against you. That I should care for you is something that God calls me to do as my duty. And I will do it as my duty. And I will do it as my duty. If you ask me whether I'm doing ungrudgingly, no, I'm not. Whether you ask me whether I can tell you that I have a whole lot of heart and love inside my heart, I will tell you very frankly, I can't. I was very, very open and very honest with him. That conversation didn't last very long, 10 minutes. I cannot relive my life and tell my father what he should have done. I have no memories. Nothing. But what I don't have, when I see other people struggling in their families, I want to do that. I want to be just like a father to them. You know, this is what I do. It is to do something that I never had. I wanted to be a father to Christopher in a way that I never experienced. What I never had, that I gave to my son and to others. That's how I overcome my own my own personal hurts and lack. So this is a part of your part as a daughter. You do your part. You pray and you tell the Lord, this is my duty. I will pray for my father. I will pray and mention him in prayer as best you can. You may not feel, you may not say it with much feeling, but you can say it with all sincerity. A father-child relationship is a privilege. Unfortunately, you cannot demand that privilege. It's there, it's there. It's not, it's not. When you were younger, you feel it. When you grow older, I told him, I have overcome that. What he was not as a father to me, I will be son to him. So I supported him for 25 years after he retired. I saw to his funeral, I saw to whatever else that was needed. Both father and mother, whom I never really, really, I have no wonderful memories of. When I was younger, I was sad. When I was older, like Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Now that I'm a man, I put away childish thoughts. This is childish. This is juvenile. I don't need to be ruled by what I felt. I can take my own course of action because I'm a man and I am not going to be overcome by her. So psychologically, I should be affected by all these things. I'm not. I don't have to be. So I reject that psychological school that says, you know, we can't help more than what we... No, that's not true. I don't believe that. Okay? So can I pray for my father? Yes, I will. However, there's a second part of it. The second part of it is that dad is still responsible for himself. And there should not be a guilt after all is said and done. He is not a child. In his own right, he has become a very successful man. He would be classified as one of those successful people in Singapore who have done their part and who have earned their stripes and you know, do whatever they wish in their years of retirement. He has the funds, he has the time, it's up to him now. So that's a part we must pray about. Can we pray for his salvation? Yes. But our prayer for salvation for anybody is still dependent upon each individual responds to the offer of salvation. Jesus can talk to the rich young man. The Bible tells us Jesus loved him. But he cannot force him. So though Jesus loved this rich young ruler for his heart, for his sincerity, for his desire and everything else, he just comes short. He went away sorrowful, but so was Jesus sorrowful. And that's something that we need to realize. I think the only moving time I ever had was with my mother. With my mother was before she passed away. I wanted to see her one last time. I've never been able to communicate with her. So I told her, although she could barely understand what I was saying, you know, the only time, and just before she died, she reached out her hand to me and held it there for a few minutes. That was the last time I communicated with her. It's the only time that I could ever remember a moment with her. And it was a very, very difficult thing to understand. But I will do my part. I will do my part whatever way I can to give to them whatever I can give to them. I will not be bound by sins. They didn't do anything for me. I won't do anything back. That is a totally wrong thing to do. I will be, like Paul says, as a child, I thought as a child, but as a man, I put away childish things, and I want to put away childish things. I will pray. But their salvation, each one's salvation, is so different. We must pray and keep praying. Okay? And all concerned must keep praying. And God in His own time, in His own way. You know, He has done His part. But each one of us must be responsible to do our part. I hope that explains things a little bit. Okay, but these are struggles which are there. But your struggles are not just with your dad. The struggles are with your own feelings. You know, your struggles are with what you have experienced all your life. You have to come to terms where I was a child, I thought as a child, I want to be grown up, I want to be mature. I don't have to be controlled by those things. I can care, even if he doesn't. That's how he was. So when my dad passed on, my sisters asked me, he says, well, Dad has left some money behind. What shall I do with it? I say, you keep it. I would not touch $1 from him. I wouldn't. I couldn't. You see? It had to be me. And it's not about money.
I appreciate what you're saying, Pastor. And I guess over the years I've dealt with myself. The tears just come naturally.
Yeah.
I guess my greatest concern for him is I'm just afraid he'll run out of time.
Yes. All of us always fear that.
Because the way he lives his life now just frightens me.
Yes.
Now he's 81. He thinks he's 25.
Yeah.
He's not afraid I am, for his own sake.
Yeah. We understand that. That's why every time the dad comes over to church, you know, we always pray that it would be an experience that would somehow touch him. Unfortunately, we have no guarantee as to what would. And it will have to take a whole lot of things. And your prayer must be, maybe Francis would be the person who will lead him to Christ. You don't know. You know, it may not be your mom, it may not be through you, maybe not through your sister. Maybe it's just going to be through friends. You don't know. Maybe through his friends. Maybe through, seriously, his health. Then suddenly he realizes, you know, boy, I really need God. And that one moment, in that one moment, the transaction is done. But that's what it is. We all live with that, with those dangers, the dangers of people whom we know, whom we care for, who are family, the danger of their not coming to know the Lord is so real. All of us have our own struggles. We all do. This is what prayer is all about. It's a struggle. This is why it's never a rut. You know, the moment you pray for, let's say you're praying for your son growing up, it's never a rut because there's so many things to pray about. Right? So that's how we get out of a rut, and we will always, always find it meaningful to pray, because every stage, every year produces a new challenge, a new perspective to study, to understand, to pray about. All the time. And especially when we run, when we talk about when our parents are getting on in years. Age is a funny thing. Not everybody feels their age. And in many ways, their attitude towards life is good. Because you can have a cranky 81-year-old thinking, I'm going to become hypochondriac, even worse. And I think we all know that, isn't it? It really, really can be far worse than we imagine. And I'm sick, I'm bad. You know, one person came up to the doctor and he says, I think I have got liver cancer. The doctor said, how can you know? This is one of those diseases that got no symptoms. This is exactly the point. You see, so you can end up with a hypochondriac situation. And a lot of people, old people do. And it's all aches and pains everywhere. So we have both extremes. And it's something that we need to pray over. And unfortunately, you're not responsible for his life. He's responsible for his own life. All of us are responsible for our own lives. You make a bad decision. You think it's a good decision today. 20 years later, you know it's a bad decision. You can't reverse that decision made. So don't make decisions too easily, too quickly. Right? Alright, now we go on further. Whatever the case may be in prayer, always look for discernible progress. Always, always look for discernible progress. Okay? If you're always praying the same old stuff all the time, you will end up with routine, rut, ritualism. And that is never good in any way, at any time. Discern progress. Okay? For example, you pray with a certain amount of knowledge. We call this present knowledge. After these few days, there should be a greater knowledge. Now, keep on looking for increase of knowledge. Search for knowledge all the time. And this is so important. You see, many of us don't really search for knowledge a whole lot. But we should. So whenever I try to witness to people, and I keep on asking myself, what is it? How do I witness to this particular person? I change model the next person. I change model again the third person. And the fourth person. Constantly learning. Every time learning. It's so vital that we understand this. It's so important that we appreciate this. And recently on Su Ling's grandmother, her coming to the Lord, one vital person, it wasn't me, it was the granddaughter. That's how you capitalize on it. And she just wanted to follow the granddaughter, including her faith. And so the way was easy for me. What is it? So I don't try to establish my own relationship. With older people, establish new relationship is next to impossible. It's very, very hard. It makes sense to you? You know that young people can make friends easily, old people don't. They don't know how to. Like your dad's situation. He doesn't know how to. He's the boss all the time. You know, people listen to him. He doesn't listen to people. So not listen to people? How? That's the problem. So whatever existing relationship is there, you have to really use that relationship existing, and there we go. So whenever I begin to have established a relationship, then it's there. You know, I'm waiting to catch up with Chi Wei's father, because I'm not well enough to go down, just in case. But, you know, there was a relationship where he, in visiting, he says he just wants to see me. Well, I understand, because he's not a person who opens himself to a lot of younger people. Okay, he will politely say all the things, but to get him to sit down and talk for an hour and a half kind of a thing here, you either connect or he doesn't. And it took many months, many years, literally, before that connection could even be established. And that's important. So we need to look at it very, very carefully, and we ask ourselves, is there progress? That's why I constantly ask, is there progress? Constantly. And whatever progress there may be, you build on it. Okay? Discernible progress, you must look for knowledge of God's will. You must look for the fulfillment of that will. You've got to learn how to understand its revelation, it's how to piece them together, and to see how they are fulfilled. Not easy things. I'm going to tell you, it will take years. It often takes years for us to understand something. You know, it takes many, many years to build up Bethany. You know, I used to do 5-year plans. 5 years, I would do this. Okay, review, right. Next set, 5 years. Okay, next 5 years, I'm going to do this. Okay, next 5 years, I'm going to do this. 15 years have gone by. Now, next 5 years, 20 years, I'm going to do this. Before you know it, 7 of the 5 years plans have gone. In a few years' time, we're doing 48 times 5-year plans. And that's how you study. You watch for progress and you develop. Okay? This is how these things you need to look at some of these things here. And of course, in progress, you need to know also something else with reference to faith in the future. You've just got to see all these things. Am I making sense to you? How to see these things here? So prayer enables me to look at things differently. And I can see in light of prayer the things different from when I'm actually only involved. When we are only involved, we cannot see clearly. We cannot see properly. We've got to step aside in prayer, watch our struggles, our progress, and as we see all these things coming to pass, we will be able to approach it far better. Right. I said a mouthful. Make sense to you? Any questions you want to ask? Anybody? This will be helpful. You know, it will be very, very much helpful if you were to interact on this matter, because this is really, really far deeper than you imagine. You know, it's as you pray, as you probe, as you ponder, as you meditate, then the next part of it, okay, is to do the future. The next part of it has to do with the future. What about the future? And we need to ask ourselves what the future is. And the past will affect us. No question about it. It's only a question of degree. Then the struggles will always be there too. The future is difficult Because you must see things differently. If the future is only a normal extension of the present, then prayer is missing. If prayer, if faith, if God affects the present, then the future must take on a different note. It must be a different plane. It must be. And then we march to a different tune. Person's prayer is very hard to understand, I must tell you this. I'm one of those people who are very hard to understand. Over to you. I thought you might want to ask a lot of questions. Yeah, Mitch, go ahead.
Pastor, can you explain a bit more about God's will to be pieced together?
God's will?
To be pieced together.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you explain that?
Okay. God's will is seldom revealed at one shot. One, we cannot comprehend it. Our minds are too finite to understand that will. Okay. Let me be very frank about it and be very personal, very pointed about it. Okay, Mitch? One of these days, you and Mark will inherit a legacy of Bethany. The groundwork has already been established. The people are there to support. The infrastructure is there. The financial support is now very secure. Okay? Yes, you are part of the pastoral team today, but it is not the same as taking prime leadership. How would you lead the church one day? You're not me. I'm not you. You have to piece things together and ask yourself, where do I fit in? There are a number of things you can do. You can say, I want to make this after my own image. And nobody will stop you. Nobody will know how to stop you. It's a great responsibility. Lots of things can change. But the weight of leadership is something that you will have to bear all the time. Think of the ministry of speaking at camps, at conferences, and retreats. Do you know how much work is put in? Two days of retreat, 28 pages. And this is only skimming the surface, I must tell you this. If you want to see the actual preparation, it's much more. If I give you everything that I tell you that I have prepared, nobody wants to come. Because we are only looking at Jeremiah, one aspect. How would you lead? How would you lead with your brother? Because both of you are different. What happens if there are conflicts? Who's going to lead? How are you going to lead? They are not easy answers. That's why they need to be pieced together. You have to go through the whole system and ask yourself. Last night, one of my prayers was on the subject of what would like to leave behind. Just to look at the mechanics of the whole infrastructure of the church. One book could be written. We see, you all take for granted the church will be there, the spirit will be there, the strength will be there, the messages will be there, things are organized, no problem, no difficulty. Really? You couldn't be more wrong. It takes a lot. It takes sleepless nights. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. So many things running through the head and the heart. And I tell myself, cannot get up at 3 o'clock. It will just make things worse. So might as well literally commune with God in prayer for the next 2 hours. Before I say, alright, now I've got to get up and do attend to things. You need to piece together. I bring this up now than earlier because the reality of it all is so very, very real. How would you lead the church? Seriously. And without what we read about, without that knowledge, without the depth of knowledge, without that wisdom, without the power, without the Spirit's special infilling and leading, it will be very, very, very hard. We need to piece together a lot of things. There's no point reinventing the wheel because it's already here. The contents, the doctrines have already been established. Those are the earlier years of the church to establish what we need to believe in, why we believe what we are believing in, what we stand for as a church. Those things have been established already. Where do we go from here? That's a very great challenge. Where do we go from here? So we need to piece things, the will of God together. In other words, the will of God involves one generation and another generation and another generation to come. We must have that generation. What does it take for people to succeed in serving the Lord? Just because you're a CEO somewhere does not mean that you're a good church leader. It doesn't follow that way. So you're a brilliant scholar. It doesn't mean that you are going to be able to lead the church at all. See, these are challenges we must put together. You know, the will of God is not an easy thing to put together. And you've got to fit in each part. Does this person fit in? No? Then how do we fit this person in? And everyone must have his own place. And everything must be fitted in together. The development of each growth, each department. Sometimes changes have to be made along the way. Because not everybody, maybe you have been good enough to a certain point, after which changes must be made constantly. I make these changes all the time. They're not easy to understand or appreciate, but they must be made. It's again here, as I said, it's not going to be easily understood in this 5-10 minutes of answers to a question. These things are going to take years to unravel, to put together. Just to help you to understand that Bethany doesn't come about to be what it is today just like that. It doesn't work that way. Constantly, you're thinking, praying over. Now, here's Sunday school department. How do we do this? And then suddenly, we are into no longer Sunday school books teaching, but pastoral teaching, so that all the classes can teach a similar thing. It used to be through books, cooks and others. And we found that they're not very useful beyond a certain level. All right, now we change. Now what else do we need to do? Lots of things to consider over, ponder. Okay, anything else you want to raise up before we move on? Yeah, Albert.
Pastor,
yeah.
You having said that about the church,
yeah,
you know, the concerns and all these things, as an individual church members, how can we bring this to God? You know,
how can we what?
Bring all these to God, all these concerns and issues.
Bring all these things
to God.
I would ask you to pray for the pastors. Pray for the church leaders. You see, when we pray for all these things, and Albert, I really wish we all would be far more concerned and interactive from the floor. Okay, I mean, this is something that we all need to work with. Just take, for example, look at the whole infrastructure of the church. You begin to realize that Bethany actually allows the practice of multiple relationship of involvement from people. Do you realize this? Say, in a Methodist system, whoever is the bishop appoints. And if you are not close to this bishop, you're never going to go anywhere. You see, this is a bishop-prick approach. Okay? So we have moved away from that, I think, here. We want to say that we need everybody we can find. You know, because it's not everybody. You take a look at how the young people are involved with the junior camp. Not the older people. Older people will scold them all the time. Oi, why you do this? Why you do that? No use. The children, the junior camp will shrink. But it keeps expanding because the young people have the energy, the ideas, the enthusiasm, the commitment, the creativity, and everything else, which the older people obviously cannot have. Really, they talk circles around us sometimes. You ask them, you see, what are you doing? I have no idea what they're doing. And we know that it's come to the certain point when the younger people are best suited. But in order to do this, we need to train younger people who will reach out to their children. So then our role is to train. Our role is to support. You know, to train at one level. This, let's say, involved in a kitchen ministry. An army marches on his stomach. You look at our poor next door church. Whenever they have their camps, it's very sad to see packet food. You know, it's a very, very sad. I've been to those places where they one packet food, and then if it's exposed in the sun too long, there's thousand. And it's really sad to see, but you see them every time they look across our food, wow, so much, because they don't have. But there are kids screaming in the middle of the night, 11 something, 12 o'clock. And our kids all very well behaved. After 10 o'clock, no much noise here. That side, 11 o'clock, screaming like crazy. Nah. Well, there's a lot of difference between our approach. So our approach has been this. Isn't it? So this is the kind of thing that we are. So we ask ourselves, if all the members can each one play its own role significantly, the church will always be strong and steady. But we must recognize that this involves tremendous knowledge of people. A working relationship. And everybody must want to say, well, I want to do my part. This is what I can do. You know, in India, there was one particular incident. One young man came in a motorcycle, you know, and he was a flasher. He wants to expose himself to the young girls coming out of church. Now, what would you do? By the time they came to ask me what to do, they already took action. Indian style. The church deacon, very rough, tough fella, he went up to him, yelled at him. Why? Because he saw how big size he was. The fella ran away, never came back. Now, probably we don't want to do it here in Singapore quite the same way. But it works in India. They ask me, how? I say, it's too late already to tell me how. But it works. I didn't want to, when it already worked, I don't want to comment. Because, you know, it's already there. Anyway, the fellow never came back. So here's another situation. We bought a piece of land many years ago. And unfortunately, the Madras Corporation, you know, took the place and tried to make it into the car park for their lorries. So one day, they tried to do the same thing. This is what Bhaskaran did. Amazing. He called about 200 members of two churches. And when the lorries came in, they stood down there in protest. The corporation people didn't want to draw in the police because they know it's not their property. So it was resolved. And it was an on-the-spot decision. India has to be run differently from Bethany. Here we are a little bit more genteel. Here we are a little bit more refined. There is rough action. It's really rough action. One day Miriam was recalling a time when she and a team of others, we took a short break and went to Mysore. Mysore is Bangalore and upwards. And along the way, from Chennai to Bangalore to Mysore, the 60 people stopped the car that they were in. All come with clubs and sticks. And said, we hear that your car banged somebody and didn't stop. They started whacking the car. What would you do? This is India. There are tough situations. One day we were coming back from a trip, coming back to Chennai in the car. Then the car suddenly died. So the fellow opened up the car bonnet in front, opened up. It was evening time, couldn't see. Oh, he did something that really took my breath away. This was the only time I walked away from him. You know, he went down there, opened the thing, fumes were coming out, he couldn't see, took his matches, light,
the thing had blown up, we all would have died. So I told them, "Oi, this is very dangerous stuff." But there are lots of these things here. They're very different. Burma is different. India is different. Of course, Australia now is pretty safe. You know, it's we don't have to worry too much about it for a while now. But it's still small. It hasn't grown beyond a certain size level. But they're all challenges. They're very different things. You cannot apply what we have as in our church over to that side. It will never work. It will never work. I think you have been in India enough to know that you don't supervise them, nothing gets done. It's the same thing. If I go down there and I don't make very, very strong statements, nothing gets done. That's very important. Okay? So the June messages for them are really sent to them. I have to get it all done ahead of time. Otherwise, you'll never get done. Okay. When it comes to praying, I really must tell you, we really must look for greater clarity all the time. Prayer must bring about greater clarity of thought at all times. Are there fixed ideas? Never be too fixed when it comes to prayer. Are there wrong ideas? They must go. Are there weak ideas? So must they. These are things which you must keep on working on all the time. So there must be clarity. And then finally, well, number five, there is submission to the will of God. Comprehension, wrong thoughts given up, new thoughts to replace old ones, wrong ones, submission. It's a hard thing to do. Submission is always a hard thing to practice because it really, really is difficult, much more than we realize. Then, of course, there must be sustained faith. I speak of faith as initial, a deeper, and renewed, stronger faith. Okay? Now, these are things that you're... Number seven... In faithful ministry for the Lord against odds, faithfulness measured over years. That, of course, to teach other people, which we are doing right now. Okay? Now, all the other things are there. Now, I realize we're going to get a few 10 minutes more to go into these things here. But let me just take up the last 10 minutes of on page 25. Then, if you want to, after the break, we could work on the appendices and look at the different prayers of Jeremiah later on. I think these personal challenges are important. One, I urge you to re-examine your prayer life. And then suggest begin in a fresh new way. Really, look at what it means to be stirred by the Spirit, what it means to be challenged by the Scriptures, what it means to be moved by the possibilities that you have heard about, read about. To begin on a new platform entirely. Okay? And then to cultivate a more meaningful prayer life until you have a prayer ministry. This will be something very, very challenging to consider. I don't hold out that right now five is where you want to begin with. But you must begin with one somewhere and then move on to, okay, now how do I do this? All right, over to you for questions before we take a break. The prayers of Jeremiah are very, very illuminating. because you know, you realize just how human Jeremiah really was. The short prayers, like those of Elijah and others, don't tell you a whole lot. You know, those prayers are really, really short ones, and they don't tell you what, you know, what they really went through in full. At least we have a whole life of ministry here to study, and we begin to appreciate his prayers were very, very, very born out of human circumstances. All right, over to you for questions. How would you begin to start your new prayer life? Please don't put it on as an added on to your list of activities. You get it wrong. You know, do you want to raise questions? Oh, you need a break already. There'll be a break, right? You want to ask questions or you want to give suggestions? See, if you don't ask questions, you don't tell me where you're coming from. I don't know whether how much has gone in and how much of it is so much water over a duck's back. Sorry? Okay, for example, you know, this is no good. This is what I wanted to get rid of. Okay. Let us say that I've been praying in this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And I just realize this is no good. Alright? This is not what it should be. Now, I go into a new platform. My new platform would be quite different. I look at my, let's say I take a look, I re-examine, this is my life. Okay? And as I look at my life, I evaluate my life is not so great. I see many problems. I lack that knowledge. I lack that energy. I lack that wisdom and the strength. And you don't want to make too long a list because you get depressed. Right? Now, I'm going to deal with everyone in the realm of prayer. Lord, help me. I need to increase knowledge. Help me. Let me begin. Let me learn. Let me read. Let me think. Let me know. Let me discover. This is my new platform. If I begin, if I understand Ephesians 1, 15 to 19 correctly, I would begin to ask the Lord every day, enlighten me. I would not let the day pass if I don't learn something fresh, something new, something important. This will be my new platform. Okay? And if I go on from the word level, knowledge level, to enlightenment level, or to the power level, and so on and so forth, I would move on from one after the other. And I would see a new me coming up. There would be a new person emerging at the end of it all. It must be. Because I am not what I was when I began. I have changed a lot over the years and will continue to change with every passing year. A new platform all the time. Here's a new platform. I'm seeking to train to equip other people.
not to do things which others can do. We have to. Constantly new things to do, to attempt. You know, it's strange why the world should do this. I mean, the world, even Singapore government knows this. You need renewal. You need to rethink. You cannot stay where you are. And it's a fact. You know, much of Indonesia, apart from Jakarta itself, all the other towns are sleepy things. Apart from Malaysia, JB and KL, all the other states only sell roti prata. They are very, very, very backward. And we all know this. That's a reality, isn't it? Sleepy little hollows. One horse town. You want to do a Malay film, you go to any of those old things, same, already there. The thing is there already. That's how it is. Singapore is only one city. We either make it, we move with the world, or we're dead. Well, same thing with our church. If we are not constantly learning, growing, equipping ourselves, we are going to be very soon tired out, worn out, and we're gone. Constantly. New people will have to keep on coming in. The present will have to constantly be strengthened, taught further, deeper, all the time. From those who are coming in, they have to be made leaders. They have to be equipped and trained and instructed. Constantly. It never stops. Okay? Thus the saying, the CT never sleeps. Anyway. All right, any questions you want to ask? Just because you are a pastor doesn't mean you don't have humor. No? Lots of challenges. Lots and lots of challenges. Alright, anything else before we take a break and then we come back? If you want to come back and then you want to take a look at the appendices, there are lots of things to learn as well. But because they are made as appendices, you know, I have not developed them because there's too much to develop. And then time's up already. And you stayed on. And I'm glad you stayed on. Yes. You want to make? Pass the mic over. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
God answers a simple prayers as well. So, that approach, is it like what you say, you know, whether we have done?
Yes. Does God answer simple prayers? Yes. Yeah. Problem is that there are parts of life that are not simple. So the simple prayers of life, when it comes to simple situations, yes. But when they are complex things, simple prayers, we're not even addressing the issue. You can't.
Can you give an example of the complex issues?
Okay. Depending on what we want to look at. Okay? I mean, it could be anything. Let's say that, if you don't mind, let's look at your difficulties in getting to university for a start. Okay? Let's say you're getting into university, uni. And you say, well, this one applied.
No. This one applied? No. For example, how do you pray simple prayers? When you, the answer is no. Because you apply again, the answer is still no. Right? So we have to find answers. What are the answers? Obviously, we must ask people who could possibly help us. Because you reapply again, the answer is no. No matter how you look at it, you apply it, no. Next time you apply, also no. So you've got to figure out why. And people who know will be able to tell you. To be very frank with you, I will tell you, if I were to analyze your grades, I can roughly tell you why they also know to you already. Because they tell you, you won't make the grade. It's, university studies is not about how you feel you like. What you like, what you are able to, not the same. And now, Singapore, you have one added problem. There are foreigners coming to study here. Between the grade is not so good grade of a foreigner and the average grade of a Singaporean, they take this foreigner. Because foreigner pays 3 times more. So what for I want to take a Singaporean? Tough luck. Try other places. That's how it works. University is a business machine. It is just business. Pure business. Right? Those of you who are in education ministry, is that not true? Look, it works. Because if you don't run this, if you don't run it the way, they're not going to do this. I mean, why do you think they don't like to have so many lady doctors? They won't prefer to have more male doctors than lady ones. After a while, they get married, and then they stop. It costs $1 million to educate one medical doctor. A few years later, they stop. And after a while, they're fed up of it. That's how it works. You see, it's very hard for us to understand how the government has think. Because Singapore, last time, only 10% people go to university. Today, you throw a stone at anybody in Bethany, chances are this person has gone to university. That's how it is. It's nothing now. It's standard. So you have to wake up to the reality that if you don't work very, very hard on this matter here, you know, it's complex. Now then, there is local you versus overseas you. Which one to choose? It's always, wow, overseas you sounds very exciting. Sounds. I mean, seriously, you look at it and you know all those things here, you go down there, you know. At the end of it all, what is it all about? You still go back to life. Of course they will make it very, very alluring. Naturally. They will tell you how wonderful it is, how wonderful it is, how wonderful it is, and so on and so forth. They all will. Even in seminaries in America, 60% of the time, the president of the university or the seminary must be out of office. They don't want the person to be in the office all the time. Because they have to go and speak, they have to go and write to place their seminary on the map. So if your seminary is not known for people who are intellectual, very, very good theologians here, it's flat. It will die. That's how it is. You know, I had a friend of mine who, his task is to raise money for UPenn. So I asked him how much money he has to raise each year. He said, oh, his portion is about $100 million a year as funding for UPenn. So I asked him, is it very hard? He says, no. So I said, how come you need so much money? He says, no, not enough. I'm only one of a team of people. We need to raise money. You'd be surprised how rich these universities are. They all got war chests of billions. And they never touch them. And they will tell you with no money. You'd be surprised. Over in Philadelphia, so many buildings, big buildings, all donated by ex-UPenn students. They place their name on the map. That's how it works. Complex things. Very, very, very complex. You cannot offer simple prayers for complex situations. Okay? So you must learn to pray a few. Now, how do I see this? Okay? Let us say that you have got no doors open, no other way. Jalan Kayu University left. No, there's no doors open. Then there's the other side. All doors open. Wow, everyone wants you. How to decide? It's very hard to decide. So you have a simple prayer. Very hard. Heads I win. Heads I go. Tails I don't go. You cannot. You see what I'm trying to say? Of course, some of these problems are also created by the fact that we have money to go. You got no money to go? You got no money to go. Right? You got no money to go? JK University also good. You would be surprised if there's no money involved. You just because we got money to go, we just use the money. Is that right? At the end of it all, university is not a degree. It's the education. It's the person you finally become. I became more Chinese when I went to the U.S. I was anything but American. I became far more Chinese because I began to say, wow, inside me is 6,000 years of Chinese blood tradition inside. And I was not going to be Ang Mo. I was not. They were having these meals and everybody asked for separate checks. So they came with me for lunch. I said, I will take care of the lunch. They said, why? He said, I'm Chinese. You sit with me, you eat with me, I pay. You invite me, you pay. Oh. Why not? I tell you, I became far more Chinese than ever before. Why should I want to go and eat hamburger and the stuff then and all the other stuff? What for? I cook. So I cook for my mailroom people. Wow, they like my food. Well, there we go. I would do the thing differently. Am I making sense to you? So you have to approach it differently. You really, really have to. Rather than to take a simple, straightforward answer. To go or not to go. You know what I mean? Seriously, I tell you why. The reason is because if I want to go and study, my parents were not supporting me. My father didn't support me at all. I had no choice. It makes sense to you? So there are lots of things you want to consider. Never a simple, straightforward answer. As we grow in the earlier, older years, as we grow older, Mr. and Mrs. Ho, we must pray differently too. Last time before we came to know the Lord, one lifestyle. Now we come to know the Lord, one lifestyle. Now you are old and the senior citizens, also one lifestyle. It's very, very different. Right? We cannot behave like The youngsters like that, different. Want to hang out. We don't hang out. You ask older, you want to, where you hang out? More hang out. Because we look at life differently. You know, to us, our time is very precious. We don't hang out, whatever that means. We approach life very, very differently. Naturally so. Right? Isn't it? We make use of our time far differently than say, the younger people, naturally. Right? So, there's never a simple, straightforward answer. Young people, if I were you, really sit down and talk to the older ones. You learn lots of stuff. You see their perspective very, very differently. Why will you learn? Never had a chance to learn from older people. That's why I encourage you. Learn whenever you can. It really will go a long, long way. Okay, I must let you take a break. By all means, take a break and then come back in half an hour's time. Would that be all right?